You likely don't know this, but I haven't given a message in Springfield for over 2 years now. And I decided that this was an opportunity that I might try and get back into the saddle again. So now that I've made it this far without just losing it and being scared out of my mind, now that I've gotten this far, I'll go ahead and tell you what the title of my message is going to be today. And that is Dealing with Persistent Difficulties. And part of this decision to talk about this is the things that have happened to me in the last two and a half years. I'm going to talk about that a little bit in just another minute or two. But right now, I just want to say that David wanted to build a house for God, but God said no. So what'd David do? Pout? Get discouraged? No. David accepted God's decision and set out to do what he could still do, which was to procure the vast amount of supplies that it would take to build the house of God as a temple. In 2 Corinthians 12 and in verse 7 through 9, we see where Paul was given a thorn in the side, or what we call a thorn of flesh. I think today we call it a thorn in the side. But anyway, he got a thorn of the flesh, which the Bible describes as a messenger of Satan. If you look in your Bible, you'll see it says it was a messenger of Satan. Paul didn't like this situation at all. He wasn't real happy about this. But what did he do? Quit? No. Paul didn't like the situation at all, and he besought the Lord three different times about this issue in his life. And he was told by Jesus, of course, I know that because it's in red letters. See, I'm not, you thought I was a scholar, didn't you? Well, anyway, Jesus told him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Now that's, you have to think about that to really accept it and to agree with it. You probably will need to pray about that and study a lot just to get to that point where you agree that even when times are not going too well for you, that there are still things you can do, and you just have to accept that fact. So that sort of reminded me of a scripture in 1 Corinthians 1:27, where it says, "Remember God chose the weak of the world to confound the mighty. Being humble or weak makes us strong to endure to the end." So it's something that God uses to actually build people's character and their strength. Yesterday at breakfast, yesterday at breakfast, I was telling a couple of friends about coming here today. And they asked me what I would be speaking about. And I said, I think I'll speak about dealing with persistent difficulties. And I explained some of the things that I had in mind. And I explained the whole ordeal that I've been through with my stroke and how it has changed my life in so many ways. Not being able to sing is one. Yeah, if you didn't hear me singing today, I tried, and I did fair for a few lines, but it's been 2+ years now, and I used to lead songs, and I would sing out, and it's very helpful when the song leader sings. It helps the congregation. So that's one of the difficulties I've had to live with for the last couple of years, is not being able to sing. Another thing that's happened is that I have a heightened sense of emotions. When I can be watching TV and just start crying, I mean really crying hard, just because of some sad scene, you know. If I watch the news and there's sadness in the news, it really causes me to be abnormal. I mean, I sometimes, especially if Joan's not around, I can just watch a story and just bawl like a little kid. And it's really weird how that's affected my brain. And I couldn't even sit down and watch TV with friends because, I mean, it doesn't take much to cause this to kick in. So after telling them about that, I thought, well, are you just going to go down there and talk about yourself? No, I don't really want to talk about myself much more. What I really want to ask you is, have any of you, and we're not talking about this, we're not going into detail on it, but any of you have been like Paul, who had a problem, and he wanted it to end, and you realize that God just said no to you? Like, after 2.5 years, do you think I can stop crying in a sad movie? I don't think so. Do you think that I'm going to pick up a songbook and sing like I did 3 years ago? I don't think so. If it happens, I'll be very happy about it, and I'll be very thankful to God that it was a shorter-lived trial than what I suspect it may be. Okay. So it's not about me. I'm asking you, what about you? Have you been burdened, maybe even for years and years, with either a physical problem, an emotional problem, a mental problem, or something that God has just not blessed you with a cure for? You know, and if you have one of those, then this hopefully will be helpful to you. After Jesus told Paul this, what was Paul's response? He didn't rebel in any way, shape, or form. He simply said, most gladly, therefore. When he said, forget it, it's not going to happen, Paul said, well, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. See, there are no guarantees in this life that I will be healed from my problems or that you will be healed from problems that you may have. I hope that none of you have problems like that. I hope that this is a useless message. But if it helps one person, it could be very beneficial. I wasn't going to do this, but I brought this along just in case. These things that Paul says are very hard to understand lots of times. He says things in ways that oftentimes are not really clear. I want to go to the Jewish New Testament and read 2 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 7. It says, This is what we really have to understand. Therefore, to keep me from becoming overly proud, I was given a thorn of flesh, a messenger from the adversary to pound away at me so that I wouldn't grow conceited. Now, you guys can do that on your own. I've done it on my own. I have to ask myself that question. Why would God do this to me? You know, leading songs is a service that you can give to the brethren. Being articulate and speaking is a service to the brethren. And I've given many full-length sermons. But sometimes we just have to realize there may be lessons to learn in our lives. There may be things that I even at this point need to be looking at to understand why this has happened to me. Three times I begged the Lord to take this thing away from me, but he told me, my grace is enough for you, for my power is brought to perfection in weakness. Therefore, I am very happy to boast about my weakness in order that the Messiah's power will rest upon me." That's something that we really need to read and reread and consider, especially if we feel that we have an issue that God is not addressing, not correcting in our lives. And so, okay. So after I told my friends where I was going with this message, one of them, named Steve, said to me, "I have a quote for you that you'll probably want to work into that message," and which showed me they were listening and that they understood, because for a guy to come up with a quote after you just describe what you're going to be doing is pretty smart. Okay, this is a quote from a 30-year-old female singer. I've seen this singer on America's Got Talent. And she goes by a stage name of Nightbird. She sang a song that she wrote, one that she wrote, not some famous singer like most of them do. They take a very popular song and then do it themselves. And this song was titled, "It's Okay." Sort of like Paul and David, they said, "It's okay, I'll just go on." This lady was charming, enthusiastic, and very positive. Yet she had cancer of the lungs, the spine, and the liver. And here is her quote. Here is her quote. I worried about this part. She said, "You can't wait until life isn't hard anymore before you decide to be happy." I love that quote. Because if you're going to wait for life to not be hard to be happy, you got a rough row ahead of you. So, so as I conclude, the part you've all been waiting for. Listen close. No matter the problems we face or how discouraging our trials and difficulties are, we of all people are most blessed. We really, really are. Because we have the favor, we are favored by a loving and forgiving Heavenly Father. Plus the redemption of his son's blood, who died to save us from death at the first resurrection. We have the promise of a 1,000-year kingdom of God. We have the promise of an ever more wondrous event that takes place at the end of that 1,000 years called the second resurrection. And to me, that is the most exciting part of my future. I mean, I could just rush through the kingdom, rush through 1,000 years. Can you imagine that? Just to get to this wondrous part where all these people that never had the opportunity, never called, never, ever had the opportunity to be as happy as we are, they will be resurrected and given that opportunity to choose right. The Father and His Son, Yeshua, our Savior and Redeemer, is all that we need to be happy. Like David, like Paul, do what you can do, just move on.